Right, so thanks very much for attending my talk. It's a tech talk. I've been looking for it's unashamedly a tech talk. This backdrop is a reference to The Matrix, and if you didn't get that, you are probably in the wrong talk, is the first comment. And the second thing is, I know what you're thinking. Nobody this well-dressed is going to be credible delivering a tech talk. But if you suspend that disbelief until the end, and then you can confirm that prejudice or otherwise. I've got a lot of slides, but I'm going to go through them pretty quickly. And the subject is simple, but the implications of it are kind of complex, so it takes a little while to get your head around. But the underlying concepts are simple. So we are getting this bus location information. The first thing I want to do is give credit to the parties involved. It took us something like 6 or 8 months to negotiate to actually get this data, with the objective of accumulating an archive in the University of Cambridge. With this data in general, the typical process is you ask for a bit of it, you get a bit of it, you do some analysis on it, you write your report at the end of that or something like that, get your project grant signed off, and then kind of move on. Whereas what we wanted was a persistent archive that we can look at over the longer term and commit to maintaining that archive over a longer term, which we're doing. And the second part of it is to genuinely contribute in a tangible way. The university needs to and wants to contribute in a tangible way to the region. And this is one way of doing that. There's a person in the audience, that is Dan Clark, that picture, and he's actually in the audience. And we owe him a debt of gratitude, actually, and his colleague, Noel Godfrey, there, in the Connecting Cambridgeshire bit of Cambridgeshire County Council in terms of getting this data. It was a very complicated kind of love pentangle that took us quite long to sort it out. So onto the tech stuff. We are getting real-time bus information. So from every bus in the region, every 30 seconds, we're getting basically the latitude and longitude of that bus. That's what it kind of comes down to. What we're doing with it is kind of what you'd expect, which is we're receiving that data in some kind of real-time way, storing it in a local cache, desperately trying not to lose it, so you kind of get it, immediately store it in a local cache, write it to the archive, feed data that we could then present intelligently on an app server. And it is our expectation to build a relatively simple app that can say not only when is the bus you're waiting for likely to arrive, but when is it likely, if you're going to Adam Brooks, let's say, when is it likely, when do we think it is likely to get to Adam Brooks? Okay, so that's a combination of things. And you'll see that at the end, about how close to that are we getting. We have static data as well, which is kind of interesting, but it's slightly admin related and not entirely reliable as a result, which is what are the locations of all the bus stops in the region? What is the definition of the various buses, like you've got the Uni4, what's that sequence of bus stops it's supposed to go through? It doesn't always. And lastly, and least reliably, what's the intended timetable of that particular bus trip? Okay, but mainly what I'll be talking about is the real-time data. And you'll recognize that in some cases you can peg it back to that static data that we've actually got. So buses are transmitting the data every 30 seconds. It's been collected by a company called VIX Technologies, who are then, on an agreed basis, forwarding it to us. The way we get the data is actually in binary. I should kind of mention that. And I know some of you in the room would have instantly recognized that as the Google Protobuf format. I'm, in fact, translating it back to ASCII. There isn't any information in that binary data that kind of isn't in this kind of ASCII format that I'll talk about a little bit more. One thing I have discovered is lots of people are now, it's growing exponentially, of people finding out that we've got this data. Could they actually have it? Could they do some analysis based on it? It's kind of quite popular. We normally go through a sequence of which data you want. They say, well, just whatever you get. You know, if we could just have that, that'd be fine. I give them this binary data, and a week later they go, tell you what, could you give us this comma delimited ASCII? That'd be a little bit, it's a pain in the ass dealing with the binary data. Okay, what the data's got in it is, I'm highlighting these fields. This is comma delimited ASCII here. Timestamp, I'll just hit the key fields, right? So the timestamp is when did the bus send that data? That is an accurate timestamp. It's actually to the second, but it was generated by the GPS inside the bus, so it's reliable. The ID, if you think of that as the ID of the dongle on the bus that sent the data, that is, again, reliable. You know, these devices don't change their ID. The route ID, which is, this is data that's being added by VIX, of saying that the bus with that particular ID, we think, is on the Uni4 route. That is not entirely reliable. So it's good as a guideline. Route ID, so it's kind of worth having, but don't assume too much on it. Trip ID is every trip of a bus, so say the Unifor is going to go from West Cambridge somewhere to Addenbrookes and then back or whatever, each of those is determined to be a trip, and the bus companies use a trip ID for each of those. Trips, again, it's useful data. You can't rely on it in the same way as you can rely on it as the ID of the dongle or the timestamp that that data was sent. Or indeed, last couple of fields, latitude and longitude that were sent. They're being sent by the dongle, okay? And they have errors that are kind of attractive in that you know it's got, you know, it's GPS, it's going to have an error in it, but you kind of know what you're dealing with. As opposed to getting data for a bus and it says, I'm a Unifor bus, and you're looking at it and it's in Luton. Right, there's no way in hell that's Unifor, but you know, that's more of a pernicious error. Okay, so I'll take this is all real data, and I did it this morning, by the way. So at 9:55 a.m., that was a record. This is derived, obviously, this is the ASCII derived from the binary, to say that a particular vehicle, which is ID number 308, at that particular timestamp, which I can tell you was 9:55 a.m. this morning, is at latitude 52.205, 0.12 something something something, right? Latitude and longitude, which is the way it kind of stores them, they're positive, they're floating point numbers, positive and negative, depending on whether you're east, west, north, or south. Okay, so that's the 308 bus. The obvious thing to do with this data is stick a flag on a map. Okay, so this was at 9:55 this morning. There was a bus that thinks it's a Cambridge 10 bus. Was there on Drummond Street. You know, it was one picked out at random at 9:55 this morning. But that's kind of the obvious thing to do with it. Take the data, stick it on a map. But we're not just getting one but every 30 seconds. You can think of it in terms of the system sneezes on you every 30 seconds, giving you the position of 500, 600, 700, various during the day, buses. So there's kind of a picture of Cambridge. I was surprised to find out that what I'm actually getting is that. So I'm getting more buses in Luton than I am in Cambridge, but it's eastern region, basically. And these ones out here, you can assume are eastern region buses. So they came from somewhere in here before they kind of went out there. But it's an example, this may sound trivial, but it's an example of visualizing the data. When I was looking at the binary, I had no idea that there were buses in Swindon. You know, but as soon as you visualize it, it kind of gives you that kind of picture. In fact, I had an error. I thought, oh, what I'll do is I'll just display flags for the first 10 buses, because I've got 800. But when I went to display those 10, they didn't appear on the map. I was thinking, my code is broken. And it wasn't. I was looking at Cambridge, and those buses, just the 10 I'd randomly chosen, were in Luton. Okay, so this is a better way of looking at it. These are every 30 seconds, a machine sneezes, and you get 800 bus positions. 30 seconds later, it sneezes again. Sneezes again, you get another 800 bus positions. And in that data, there are clearly going to be records with the same ID, not the same timestamp, not the same latitude, not the same longitude, not necessarily other things. That ID will be repeated. It won't necessarily be repeated, and you're going to see, I'm debating whether to put this run this live. We might get time to do that, we'll see. But obviously, you can pick out something with a common ID after having accumulated the data for a while, so you're no longer just looking at a snapshot. The current system, by the way, that you see writing on bus stops is radically simplified by only keeping the most recent sneeze, right? So you can look at it, where's the X10 bus? Do something with that data. Then you throw that data away. That underpins what's being done at the moment. Whereas if you look at it historically, you can do that, which is you take a given bus, which is a Cambridge 4 bus, it goes from Camborne to Drummond Street. And that is a particular journey of that bus on a particular day at a particular time. Okay, so we are accumulating that data. I've been receiving it since June. 200 million data points, as you hear, on about 800 vehicles. They're not simultaneously on the road, but the reason I know it's about 800 is if you collect IDs, I've managed to accumulate about 800 unique IDs. At any point in time, there's something like 500 of them on the road. Okay, doing 4 million trips. So you've got 4 million of those. These are different things. You can either look at a sneeze or multiple sneezes, or a lot of the analysis you want to do tends to come down to a trip. Like you're looking at the Cambridge 4 bus. is you tend to ask the questions, how long did it take last time to get to Adam Brooks? Right, the important thing to understand is when you're asking that question, you're asking the question about a trip. You can't glean that information from a 30-second snapshot, which is what the signs are currently using, right? They're not getting the data that would enable them to predict forward. That's just an example of the static data that we've got. Is for the Cambridge 4 route, these are the bus stops on that route with their latitude and longitude. Each one has got a textual description that doesn't tell you where it is. It's just whatever they decided to call the sign. Okay, that is the trip with its actual data points mapped to that route. And a current but unsolved issue is how would you decide when was that particular vehicle at a particular bus stop? Okay, it's not quite as trivial as the data telling you that, in that I've got a data point here and I've got a data point here, and you may know from the route that we're assuming it stopped at that bus stop. But you don't have, it's not quite so trivial that you've got that recorded. That's an open issue. How would you calculate it? I'll talk a little bit more about that. Here's one reason it's an open issue. This is the same trip. Okay, I can go backwards, I think. Cool. I'm just looking at Camborne. Okay. And those are 30-second, in most cases, there'll be 30-second timestamps, but there is nothing wrong with not getting a sample. 30 seconds can come and go. You look at it, and but let's say you're interested in a particular vehicle. It may not appear in that timestamp. It's depressingly common that they go into mobile black spots, aren't able to transmit the data that they had at that time. And you'll see this evidenced as we go into this in a little bit more detail. It's kind of cool stuff, but it leaves the question of when. You could pick a. Let's find a bus stop. That one there. You know, when was it there? It's not as easy as it looks. But the things that are reliable. Oh, I'll build a picture up here. Those are the trips for a single day of a single route. Okay. Remember, we've got 280 routes, 800 vehicles. Okay. If you look at it, that's looking at those routes in Camborne. It's noisy. It is noisy data, and that's probably the main thing you need to be aware of. I'm hoping to get some feedback from the audience, by the way, and leave enough time that we can talk about it a bit. But some of these sort of naive things you think you might do, it's obvious, we'll do this and that. You mustn't forget that the key thing to do is work out how are you going to cope with pathological data. You know, okay. Now, there is something which is, this is drawing a plot between each of the data points, right? So you're drawing a polyline that the vehicle appeared to have followed. If you actually take just the data points, which your mind is kind of deceived, that this looks like a sequence of data points going down there, and it's not. It's multiple journeys overlaid, obviously with their dots intermixed. So one particular vehicle will be that dot there, and then that dot there, and then that dot there, of course, or something like that. Nevertheless, and again, this is just one day's worth, okay? Remember, we've got, and this is probably showing, I don't know, a couple of thousand data points, and we've got 200 million data points. This is where the benefits of averaging GPS data and the fact that you've got a shed load of data points starts really paying off. When you're looking at an individual trip, I showed you Camborne earlier, you know, you really get fuzzy about where that bus went. And you might think, well, it's in the bus static data. Okay. In fact, what's more reliable is just accumulate a month's worth of trips and see where the dots are. That is going to tell you. You can see it going around the roundabout, okay, that kind of thing. Whereas if you just look at a single trip, you don't see that at all. Okay, so it's time to talk about the RAT, which is the real-time analysis tool. This is the thing I was thinking of playing live, but I was too chicken, so I ran it this morning and screenshot it. Okay, and it's just an example of the kind of analysis we want to be able to do. At the moment, we are, I think to be fair, at the stage of exploring the data and working out what do we need to do to explore the data to avoid making naive assumptions when you try and program a mobile phone that kind of says 4:47 for your expected arrival time at Adam Brooks. But you will see through this how this development moves to that. What the real-time analysis tool does is it runs in real time. And I'm going to snap through a sequence of screenshots. You can draw any arbitrary polygon anywhere on the map. There's no reason it's not implemented. There's no reason why you wouldn't draw multiple arbitrary polygons. You'll hear me talk about that. And the code can detect each time a vehicle, these grey dots are vehicles, each time a vehicle either moves into or out of that polygon, that I can tell you is not enough. You know, that sounded really cool. We kind of did, ooh, we'll be able to tell when this bus gets to it. Adam says, no, you don't. There are you know, this sort of pathological behavior where something warped in Adam, but it's warped out again. And in fact, it's going along Hills Road, you know, kind of something like that. And you've got to be very careful if you're going to calculate what's the average journey time to Addenbrookes, and you've unwittingly included this pathological data, which was a bus returning to the depot, or it was a bus that just gave a data point in that box or something like that. Okay, so there is quite a simple technique you can do which radically cleans the data up, which is you draw a polygon, you actually give it a entry face and an exit face, and then you are detecting when does a vehicle enter that polygon, and when it entered the polygon, what was the last data point that it had before it had entered the polygon? You know, you're kind of keeping track of what it's done historically. And did that vector between from being outside the polygon to being inside the polygon, did it go through the, let's say, the start line? And the second thing is the exit polygon, did it go through the finish line? Okay, but this is an example. And in the meantime, did it stay inside the box? Okay, once you've done those things, you can end up with a box that goes all the way down Hills Road, and it does tell you when did this bus enter Hills Road, when did it leave it at the other end. You just draw a box of that shape. This particular box, this is a tech talk, all right, so I'm bang on with what I like. It's not, is just one that conveniently generates a lot of noise. There's a lot of buses coming in, there's a lot of buses going out. It's between, I don't know if you can see it, but it's between the station down here and Lensfield Road, that is Hills Road going down there. So you get a lot of buses coming in, a lot of buses going out. You actually, for what it's worth, you get buses coming in sideways, warping into it and then warping out again because they've been going along Brooklands Avenue. Okay, so I might run this twice. So these are just screenshots of what that tool was doing. Okay, so I'm going to run that again. These are buzzers going backwards. Okay, so multiple screenshots. What you'll see at the top is vehicles entering the box. I actually change the colour to green when they enter the box. We're just trying to debug it. And if they've done what is called a clean entry, there's two sections on the console. In effect, this is browser-based, but it's doing a console. These are sort of more general purpose console messages. And over here are messages where we think we would actually be using the information that's been derived. Like, I've just calculated how long did it take a bus to go down Hills Road, which means it started successfully, it finished successfully, I got a good time. When it entered the box, the previous timestamp wasn't like 2 hours ago, and just bizarrely, the single vector, you know, took it all the way into the box. Okay, so I'm going to run it again. Okay, so this is, ignore the start here, I suppose. So you've got bus number 324 on routes Cambridge 3, bus number 719 on Whippet 75 has entered successfully. When they do enter successfully, I can actually draw the vector just to check that it seems to be doing what I think. You see they're different length. You've got a timestamp here and a timestamp there, or timestamp up here and a timestamp down there. There is a question of how would you calculate the entry time? Because these boxes aren't very long, okay, and the data's only every 30 seconds. And the first thing you can do, and you can all tell me if you've got a better algorithm, is interpolate. This kind of says, how far along that vector were you when you intersected that line there? Okay, so this one is saying you were 0.22 or 22% of the way down that vector or something when you cross the line. So you can interpolate between the two timestamps. Okay, so started. Early exit down here is some bus has just gone, but they haven't gone via that red line. Bus is still moving along, and we've just had two completed, which is that one and that one. So this is an illustration of calculations that need to underpin most, because we're going to get on to how would you predict arrival time, okay, which is the fun part. But in doing so, you're assuming, let's say, and you're going to use the historical data for some reason. You don't have to, let's assume you do. You may want to know what were the historical arrival times, right? The data hasn't got arrival times in it, it's just got latitude, longitude, and timestamps. So you may want to pre-compute arrival times at bus stops. There's another thing you might want to do is you might want to pre-compute journey times down roads, okay? Because that may be, this is called feature extraction, okay? You may rely on that feature extraction when you're doing your subsequent calculation of predicting an arrival time. Okay, so that's the rat. Let's take a map of Cambridge. Here's some main roads in Cambridge. That's the kind of thing we might do, which we can do now, is measure traffic speeds on each of those routes, probably in both directions. You've already got a start line and a finish line. You can end up with two boxes overlaid. One's going one way, the other one's going the other way, because they're different times, obviously. Okay, now I think the next slide is me simplifying this map, so stick with me. To that, okay? So let's assume you've got a map, something like that. And we've taken those times, and if a miracle happened and these buses are the only vehicle on the road, so each one is doing its journey in exactly the appropriate amount of time on every artery, then let's say you end up with a pattern looking something like that, right? Which is, we'll call that 100% and that 0% of the speed of the bus. That's a happy day, that's a nice picture. And that's what a crappy day would look like, okay? Which is like all the arteries are stuffed. Okay, and of course you get different patterns depending on their data. And just looking at the information we've got, we can do this for like a 15-minute window. Okay, so you could be looking at now, I could have drawn this pattern for 15 minutes ago. Okay, you know, it's reasonably timely. In others, you've got so many data points, you can redraw that. Okay, so where have we got to so far? Which is the data archive part. I haven't talked about mobile apps or something like that. The data archive is progressing well. You can answer questions like, where's the bus? These are simple questions, but typically the ones other, developers in this area, tend to tag, woohoo, we put a flag on a map, you know, or just using the information of where is the bus, making a spectacular guess of when, therefore, is it going to arrive at the bus stop you're waiting on, which is conveniently in a fixed point, and it mustn't be too far away. Those are kind of really, really simple questions to ask. Okay, how long did a journey take? You saw you have to derive that from the historical information. What patterns do we see? Okay, so historical data, that's a tick. Just checking you're keeping awake. But we probably ought to talk about the predictive side. What would you do to predict? And I don't know. So we've got some ideas. And the first algorithm you could think of is, we'll use the timetable. When are you going to get to Adam Brooks? Look it up in the timetable. There's a 3:47. So you give that. There's a perfectly reasonable algorithm. Hopefully it's not the only one you're going to come up with. You could come up with another algorithm that uses, I'm just going to look at the most recent 20 buses that have gone to Adam Brooks from roughly where you are now, and drive your arrival time based on what those recent, let's call that the recents algorithm. You might assume there's a periodicity to the data, i.e. if you're travelling at 2 o'clock on a Friday, the traffic is going to look a bit like what it looked like at 2 o'clock last Friday. That would be a 7-day periodicity. There could reasonably be other periods that could be of interest. Cambridge, term time, not in term time. You know, kids' school traffic makes quite a big difference to our traffic. But anyway, let's put that in the periodicity category. I think I'll come up with one more. Okay, weather. These are different algorithms, and what I was hoping is guys might come up with those, who knows. The question is what to do with those. Now what we can do is we can run that on this accumulating archive of historical data we've got and work out which one seems to work. Okay, so and we could end up with weights, timetable 100%, recent 0, periodicity 0, weather 0. That would tell us something. I'm not upset about that. I mean, it's the best way of calculating it is compared to other ideas we've come up with. It's calculating when you're going to get to Adam Brooks is a lot harder than calculating how long the bus is going to take to do the 1 kilometre it's going to get from wherever it is to where your bus stop is. That's a much easier calculation to do. So we can run it on historic data and come up with weights for those. A technical point is, because these results are kind of themselves floating point numbers, if you think of them as a bias relative to the timetable. So you think recents might say, on average, we think you're going to be 7 minutes late relative to the timetable. A neat thing about that is algorithm one gives you a weight of an adjustment of zero. Algorithm two, on a given circumstance, gives you an adjustment of 5 minutes. This one might give you an adjustment of 2 minutes. This one got an adjustment of 15 minutes. You can combine. You don't need weights to be binary. You can combine all the weights. You can, you know, arithmetically combine them and say, I'm going to be 20% confident in that one and 80% confident in the other one. You can kind of mix and match them. But, and I'm wrapping up here, what we're expecting to do is not have one set of weights. So this is machine learning we're talking about, by the way. We wouldn't have one set of weights. You know, we do feature extraction. We look at the characteristics of the traffic, which can be pertaining to your current... There's different things you could collect. They're just different features, which is, how's your bus been doing so far? You're about to catch it, and if it's running like molasses, we might be therefore more pessimistic about the second half of the journey. Maybe, maybe not. The thing I dove into was the pattern of traffic data in Cambridge in some kind of simplistic macro sense. That is quite possibly going to be a reasonable feature to use to guide you. So you have a different set of weights according to those features. Like particularly, let's take the traffic pattern. If the traffic pattern is everything is awesome, then you'd probably bias your weights towards the timetable, right? Whereas if the traffic pattern is everything is completely turned to crapola, then you'd probably bias your weights more towards the recents. So what we've got is we've got like tiered machine learning here, with the advantage that we've got a very substantial corpus of data that we can test whether I'm talking bollocks or not. Thank you.
Many thanks, Ian.
Thank you.
We've got a few time for some questions, so any questions at all?
Everybody's normally got, everybody's normally got an algorithm, which you saw in the title for the talk, which is, it's obvious. What you ought to do is look at Google Maps, find out their traffic data, and use that. But there's it's obvious. You know, usually have to wait and hear what's at the end of that sentence.
Well, I guess I have two. First, have you been tempted to try and identify route segments for road complexity? Because you have changes in bearing of the bus, which indicates it's going around a corner or something like that. Any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I think that's a good intuitive, because a lot of this is intuitive, isn't it? It's an intuitive judgment. The bearing is spectacularly unreliable. It's coming from I don't know what. But this use of polygons on the map to, it is true that a lot of buses have common segments. So one of the key things, for example, a really simple thing to do is say, when's the bus going to arrive at my bus stop or something like that. What I'm hoping is obvious, but it's certainly not done at the moment, is there are a number of other buses that aren't necessarily, so you don't have to just look at Unifor buses. There's a lot of other buses that have got route segments in common. So you do want to know, in other words, if Unifor is about to go down Trumpington Road, you don't care the last bus to go down there was a Uni 10. You just want to know, how did it go? Which does need route segments, yeah. How best to do that, I'm not sure. I've been looking at this data since June, and I've got a healthy cynicism about data that you're not deriving from the hard data itself, because coping with errors is really a lot more, you know, if you get something that kind of says this is a uniform bus and it's not, it's hard to cope with. Yeah, so the route segments is... It kind of makes sense. The other thing is, I'm trying to make sure, I don't think the university can build a system where we maintain static data. So if you've got, because you can see from the data points, you can see this granularity of the route. If we can derive that from the data points, that's good, because it just automatically, it's doing what it does. Once you get into the game of, we're going to create, which you can do for a one-off research project, you know, one-month research project, is we would create a series of hard-coded segments that says this is where a particular bus goes, and we would do particular analysis kind of based on those. But, you know, 3 months later, Stagecoach changes the route. They do change the routes, by the way. But this data used to be considered real-time, but they were referring to what we now call static, because the route data was considered to be real-time. They may change that route and say, actually, the Unifor bus is going to go down Hills Road, not Trumpington Road, because you know, some kind of good reason. Very good point there.
And my other question is, it's half based on observation, having waited for the Unifor bus in the morning, which is very easy to do at 7:30, and in the evening, which is very difficult to do at about 6:30. So what happens is over the course of a day is the delays get exacerbated and exacerbated and exacerbated until they're no longer running with a periodicity of 20 minutes each. It's now nothing for 50 minutes and then three at once.
Yeah.
So do you have any plans to build into your model this sort of collecting unreliability as the day proceeds?
Do I have any plans at all? That would be a question. The question is whether that would be captured in the periodicity question. In other words, clearly you've got to distinguish between traffic in the afternoon, traffic at 4 o'clock, 4 p.m. versus traffic at 7 a.m. So yes, would be the short answer, is if what you describe, which I suspect, and we could all sit in a room, you know, bitching about Cambridge buses, and I'll just join you, right? Whatever model we build has got to work at, you know, effectively assuming the traffic is different at different times. And I don't know for sure, but I'm interested to see what the model says, is it's consistent that journey times out of Cambridge are worse at 5 p.m. than they are at 9 a.m. You know, and if we build a system that can't spot that difference, we've not built a system, so.
Right, now we know for Google Map, give you direction and also telling you how the traffic is, supposed to be in real time.
Yeah.
How does they do that? Are they collecting your data or?
Yeah, they are. It's Android. What Google do is they have Android phones. They don't do, as far as I can tell, I've looked at it. First of all, they make that data available on a paid for basis, and you have what's called Google Maps for Work. It's, you know, you kind of look at these contractual terms. And if you want to use Google privately, Google Maps, the Google Maps API, which is being used here, by the way, every screenshot you saw there is using Google Maps API. They provide that traffic data as a map overlay. Whereas I was sure you'd kind of hope that you'd just get it in the form of a 5 minute. You go, how slow is the traffic on Hills Road? And it come back and say 5 minutes. That's not the way it works. You can do a Google Maps API call, and you say, give me the traffic overlay for this particular region on the map. So unless you're going to like screenshot that and image map it, it's not the most flexible tool. The other thing is the analysis they do on their data. As far as I can tell, because they've got a very rich source, which is Android phones moving down Hills Road. What you can do is between two successive data points, you can calculate how fast is that phone moving, right? The same as with a bus. I could just take two successive data points and go, what was the speed of the bus for that journey? And then I could paint the Google map, you know, because kind of after you've done 500 trips, you're starting to paint a picture that it didn't seem to be moving quite, you know, the dots are further apart there. They're basically using that data. And when you look at the Google Maps overlay, it can have quite a high granularity because that's kind of the data they've used. They don't make it easy to use. The other thing to be aware of is anything you do in this space, you need real-time data. And real-time data doesn't just mean it's up to date. It means you can subscribe to that data and receive updates when it changes. And most APIs are, I don't mean most APIs for this, just most APIs in general are designed, ask for something, and we'll give it to you. So it's a bit like this bus location data. The first thing most people will kind of think of is if you want to know where the Unifor bus is, well, I've written this API. You go, where is the? And then you go, Unifor. And I come back and I go, here's its latitude and longitude. But if you're interested in drawing the location of that bus and updating it in real time as it moves, what are you going to do? Are you just going to ask me for it every three seconds? Just keep asking. Most of the time it's not moving. And the Google Maps API is a query API. So in other words, it's not as wonderful as you might hope. First of all, they're not giving you the raw data. The information they're driving from it is more velocity-based between adjacent data points, and it can be very noisy, but if you average it out, you can get it slowish at the bottom of Hills Road and it's quickish at the top. And then the third thing is you can do a query via the Google Maps API, and it gives you the data, right? It gives it as an overlay. A query you can do with Google Maps for work is, which is what it's kind of more aimed at, is you say, this is the example they give, I am going from Baltimore to Washington. Could you give me a route and tell me how long it's going to take? Okay, and I'll say it's going to take 3 hours, 45 minutes. And here it is, and it'll draw it on the map. Embedded in that data is the 3 hour, you know, in your return from the Google Maps API, it will say 3 hours and 45 minutes. They've tweaked that number according to the traffic data they've got. They're not relying on people with mobile phones going down hills, right? It's not at that level of granularity. And if you want to calculate journey time, calculating journey time between Baltimore and Washington is a hell of a lot easier because it kind of averages out. You know, the West Side Highway is congested or kind of something like that. You start stretching the journey time out. Because your starting point for that journey is 3.5 hours, right? Just on a normal day. Trying to use a similar technique to go from West Cambridge to Addenbrookes is trickier to do with that method. So those are the challenges. And if you say we had Google Maps API for work and we did that query, you could say, you know what, my route is from the Mark to Addenbrookes, you know, the two least glamorous buildings in Cambridge. It will give you the journey time. Okay. But two things, that journey time is not particularly, when you do that, you find out it's not very accurate at all. Because it's too short a journey. And secondly, you had to query to get information. So to build a system based on that, that's been used by lots of people, once you go above a certain number of queries to Google, you're on a pricing arrangement of what would you need to do that, because it's not a real-time protocol. So there are the challenges. What we're looking at doing, by the way, is if we have a map that displays your expected arrival time, an app, I don't know if I said app or map, when the people click the OK button, yes, I'll have it, they're giving us their latitude and longitude forever from that point on. And we will see if we can use that information to enrich the information that we've got here. But it's not easy, is the kind of point I would make.
Sorry, we've actually run out of time. But many thanks to Dr. Ian Lewis.
Thank you.